I'm Ian. Welcome to Creator Coco. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's Creator and then C-O-C-O-A. In this episode, we talk to Michelle Anyango and Stella Murugi about making better thumbnails and how to tune social media algorithms so they can benefit you even more. I hope you learn something that helps you become a better creator.
I spent a copious amounts of time like making thumbnails, removing them, and I was just wondering if I can have a stencil of like a stencil on which I just change a few things, if that bothers the audience, and also if I don't know, like I don't know, it's just a weird thing that I've been noticing that I spend too much time on, and so I'm wondering, are there other creators that have the same problem? What did they do to mitigate it? Do they just make the same thumbnail with different things? Yeah.
Oh, so that's a good question. So let me also try to answer that from my own knowledge, which is that yes, you definitely need a formula or a plan for your thumbnails that you want to reuse. So first of all, that makes you more efficient, and then second, because you're using a formula, it's possible for you to improve it. So if you start with a formula of I'm going to be showing a title and then I'm going to be showing a clickbait thing, or maybe an image of someone looking shocked or something like that, and that's your style, you can start developing that style and doing like alternatives on that style. Because when I see a lot of YouTubers, I know that they use formulas. You're supposed to use a formula. Does that mean that your thumbnail will end up looking the same? Not necessarily. It's just that you have the same philosophy behind each thumbnail that you're trying to improve on. I personally use templates for Photoshop. I've created my own templates, and I think it's very convenient. If you just have one template, you're right. You can use this template to make your workflow more efficient, and you don't have to do as much work. And you can also end up with a template that works for you like consistently as time is going on. It makes the whole process of making thumbnails much more efficient. So I use thumbnails, although my thumbnails are very simple. but I have a process now which I can rely on for generating a thumbnail. And that's useful because if I want to change a small thing, and because I know I'm going to make this thumbnail more consistently, then if you change one thing, you know it's going to apply to a lot of thumbnails in the future. So that's one. Maybe now it becomes a question of how do you make your thumbnail look interesting?
I kind of gave up on that thumbnail business because I felt like it was taking so much time and it wasn't giving me the returns that people say thumbnails give. Not I just put anything on my video. Yes, it's nice to have a nice thumbnail, because if somebody scrolls through your channel, they'll be like, wow, this is aesthetically pleasing. I'm just going to click because the thumbnails are aesthetically pleasing. However, it was taking too much time, so I don't stress on having a particular format for my thumbnail. I can think of like maybe colors or font, but templates, and really don't bother with them. And also I haven't posting on YouTube since last year somewhere, I don't know. However, on Instagram, having thumbnails, Instagram reels, having thumbnails is, or any post on Instagram, which is a video, having thumbnails is very, very important. So for my Instagram, when IGTV still used to be there, I always had a template for my thumbnail, something very, very basic. Like I have two Instagram accounts, one is for astrology, and one is the regular one. So on the astrology account, my thumbnail would be, or rather cover. Instagram, it's covers, not thumbnail. My cover would just be a purple background, and I just use the same font. And I'm talking about Tuesday, then I'll write Tuesday, what it means, same font on all of them for IGTV. On Instagram, now my main Instagram account, the regular one, I was using a blue background, and I was literally using This, I was using the same format, the same template on both accounts. The only difference was the color because I was like, looking for how to be creative with your thumbnail is too much. It's just too much and it takes so much energy. And you may end up spending more time, more energy on thumbnails than on your content itself. And TikTok, I also saw that having, I won't say a thumbnail as per se, having a thumbnail as per se on TikTok. But on TikTok, as long as you have a title on your video, most especially if it's from the font on the site, it kind of pushes your content. And for Instagram now also, when it comes to Reels, it's particular videos where I put a thumbnail. For instance, there's a trending sound or there's a trend going on, like now Lizzo's song about, I don't want to curse because I don't want you to get penalized if, what's it called? If Anchor decides to be strict like YouTube and the rest. So it's a some time. So I did a reel with that. And for that one, I made sure my thumbnail was really nice so that if somebody is scrolling through that sound and they see my thumbnail, they'll click on my video. Otherwise, I just clickbait people with thumbnails on Instagram reels. I use my best photo as the thumbnail. And people click. So that's what I do.
Sometimes it's important for us to focus on more on our content necessarily than the thumbnail, although the thumbnail is what can attract new users. But once someone is more familiar with your content, they're going to be interested either way. And also there are other examples of channels like Corridor Crew, I don't know, like and a bunch of others who kind of reuse the same formula when it comes to a thumbnail. There's also people who do completely unique thumbnails.
Just like Ian has said, yes, it's nice to have nice thumbnails, and some guys just use the same template, everything. In my own experience, I'm also a social media manager, and in the company where I'm a social media manager, I'm redoing the YouTube, the thumbnails, and everything. So I take inspiration from other accounts. Like I work at this organization called PAUKWA, and you tell positive stories about Kenya. Now there's a YouTube channel called Home Team History. And because we tell positive stories about Kenya, I want to change the thumbnails and I'm getting inspiration from Home Team History to make our thumbnails more appealing so Kenyans can actually come and learn about Kenya, watch our YouTube videos and stuff. Because if the thumbnail is attractive and you're talking about a country, history, culture, everything, guys will actually click. Aside from that, what I've noticed outside content creators who are educative and all that stuff, the content creators whose channels are actually blowing up, people are watching and everything, they barely put a thumbnail. Like the way you render your video and upload on YouTube and it can just pick a random bad frame and use as a thumbnail. They just use that. And their videos get so many views. For instance, this comedian, I think he's Scandinavian or something. He's somewhere Swedish. Yeah, he's called PewDiePie. PewDiePie puts zero effort in his thumbnails. Zero at all. Even in the titles of his videos, he will just write what he wants to say. No thumbnail, nothing. And guys click. Like I'm looking at his channel, and a video he posted 4 days ago has 5.7 million views. The videos I spent so much time making thumbnails on, I don't even think they have 100 views, or even 80, or even 60. So it's more about your content than anything else.
First of all, that's hilarious about PewDiePie, about him not putting any effort. I'm a huge fan of PewDiePie. I'm one of those people who watches, although not that regularly. But I kind of get his appeal. So when he does a nonsense thumbnail and title, it's usually just as a joke, and it's become like a meme with his fans. So when his fans see, they know he kind of makes weird thumbnails like that.
And
Okay.
then you'll be waiting to see where that meme is in the video. So you'll just be watching because you want to see that particular meme and you don't want to miss the story, so you don't even forward or speed or anything. Yeah, continue.
The click-through rate. Do you usually look at your analytics to look at whether people actually click on the thumbnails? Do you know how good you are
I
at making
stopped looking.
thumbnails?
Yeah, I know, but I stopped looking at YouTube analytics because I put so much work And I don't get anything back. And that's so discouraging. It's like studying for an exam so hard. It happens mainly in university. You've studied so hard, even for the assignment, you've done it so well. And then you come and you're given a C, and you're like, I studied and I knew I was going to get an A. So I stopped. I looking at analytics. Sometimes I'll open my YouTube and I'll be like, shocked, wow, this video is getting views. Where I check my analytics on is Pinterest. Because anything I do on Pinterest, I actually see like returns. I make a board, I reshare stuff, I like stuff, I'm just there getting followers, I'm getting many, many unique monthly viewers. So on Pinterest, I check. And I also use Pinterest to kind of check my YouTube analytics because I have a board for YouTube videos. I haven't updated it in a while, in a long time. So I will check the videos over there and see if they're getting clicks or anything. Then I'll go to my YouTube studio and check, and I would see that the videos which are getting more views are the ones I posted on Pinterest. So people are clicking from Pinterest to come to YouTube to watch my video. And Instagram also, yeah. So YouTube, I'm feeling the way people say YouTube is not being kind to creators. YouTube really isn't being kind to creators, and TikTok is coming for them.
I see. And for me personally, I haven't been using TikTok for a while now. And I wanted to know, how is TikTok doing? How is TikTok land? What are some interesting things that are happening in on the platform? Are there any interesting creators coming up, or any interesting creator kind of trends happening there?
Well, for me, this is like what I'm going to say. It's generally about social media, every single social media platform. And that's why I'm more active on TikTok nowadays. I use social media to learn, to get informed, and to develop my skills. Those are the only things that I use social media for. I don't use social media to look at people's lives or anything, because when I was a teenager, that's what I was using social media for, and it was depressing me. It made me feel very bad, and I was becoming a bad person because of that, because I'm like, why can't it be me? Why them, not me? So I started using social media to learn. Twitter, I use Twitter to learn. TikTok, I use TikTok to learn. Pinterest, I use Pinterest to learn. Tumblr, every social media platform I use to learn. So on TikTok, when I began using TikTok, I was feeling bad because my videos were not going anywhere unless I posted something controversial. And I felt very bad that if I post something controversial, that's when it starts, TikTok is pushing it. But when I post things I really want to post, TikTok doesn't push them at all. So I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to be here and I'm going to find good creators who are teaching me something, who are going to improve on the quality of my life. And obviously, after I get something from TikTok, I'm going to Google to confirm it. But I don't use Google. I use other search engines like DuckDuckGo so that I don't get biased information. I don't get information which is just being pushed by capitalism or whatever it is. And I try and find out about that. So I've learned so much, especially about African history, about Black people, about who I am, about therapy, about art, about hobbies, about video editing. I actually learned video editing like on TikTok, and even my graphic design skills. I learned them on all these social media platforms. That's personally how I learn. I learn via association. I'll see somebody doing something and I'll go and try and redo it. I can't learn by being taught. I learn by observation. So that's what's been happening on TikTok. Of course, you'll still find controversial things like the controversial which shouldn't be there, which like bullies, cyberbullies, or just all these bad things that really shouldn't be happening. But I try and tune my feed on all my social medias like every once in a while. Like when I start noticing on my feed, they're just bringing me celebrities and pop culture and things like that. I start searching what I want. I'll search Kenyan history on, or business tips on, or video editing or things like that. I search, then I find one hashtag and I go through several videos with that one hashtag and I like them. I like them. I spend a lot of time there. So now my feed gets retuned. But on TikTok, my feed does not get retuned to what I don't like as fast as Instagram. I notice, I feel like Instagram is trying to make people addicted to their platform. I'm really convinced about that. And if I ever go back to school, that's going to be what I'm going to write a paper on that, like a whole thesis on that. Because I noticed on Instagram, since I'm a social media manager and I have two Instagram accounts, before it was just me comparing my two Instagram accounts, try something on this account, try another thing on the other account, or try the same thing on both accounts and see how they are. Check my feed on both accounts, check, like, just check everything on both accounts to compare. Now, when I became a social media manager, I have three accounts to look at. And I realized that if you do not keep telling Instagram what you want to see, Instagram is going to bring you very relevant things that people are looking at. Like you'll find cars, you'll find models, things that will give you pressure in life. And it's always going to be people around your age who seem to be accomplishing so much, people who can give you pressure because of their lifestyle. So the account I manage is a child's account. But then I noticed that it was just showing me gossip about Kenyans, YouTube couples, celebrities in Kenya and all. And I was like, that's not what's supposed to be on this account. So I started fine-tuning it, like looking for hashtags, Black children's book, Black representation matters, African stories. And my feed changed, even recommendation changed to fit what we want to see on this children's account and what we work with, like things which are the same values as us. Then for 1 week, I didn't do anything because I was thinking, ah, it's okay. The next time I went to check the For You page, it was back to gossip and every single irrelevant thing. So yeah, that's what it's been. For Twitter, Twitter doesn't, unless now with the new takeover, things are going to change. But for me, Twitter hasn't been fine-tuning itself to do things I don't want. It hasn't, so yeah.
What you just mentioned is actually so important, and you've said it so well. And it's extremely valuable to be able to use social media as a tool for learning. And you've hit the nail on the head. Like, you've said that very perfectly, which is that sometimes the algorithms are leading us in directions that we don't want to go. And it's important for us to be able to take back control. You should be able to see what's happening, and you should be able to go out of your way and try to avoid those kinds of things. Because social media, apart from being a tool for consuming all this entertainment, can also be a tool for education, right? Yeah, so
it's a very good education tool. Very, very good. You just need to know where to look.
Yeah, and actually, I've had the same exact problem as you, and I completely agree about the tuning. For example, I have accounts where I expect only certain type of content. But then the algorithm ends up, it starts recommending to you all these models and all these things and all these, the things you're trying to actively stay away from because you don't want to go in that direction. And you're right that on Instagram, it tends to decay. So once you've set it, even if you look at one picture that it shows, that's it, you're done. You're gonna.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, there's this documentary, I don't know if you've watched it, it's called The Social Dilemma, where they talk about how social media is slowly controlling us, destroying us, poisoning us. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I watched it, but I thought it went too far in the other direction.
I even feel like when I was watching it, I felt like, yes, I've watched, yes, I've learned, but nothing you've told me is going to make me quit social media. It's like as if these people actually say that they said everything, but the guys putting together the documentary really edited it to seem so like they edited every information out. Like, you see the way I saw a tweet that said, I've forgotten what it's called, something about controversial history. Controversial American history is actually actual American history. Like, they should start calling it actual American history, not whatever they say it's called. I've forgotten what it's called. So in the social dilemma, like the things we're talking about, those are the things I expected them to say. And when guys talk about how they watch a social dilemma and it touched them and they learned and all that stuff, I feel like they're being fake. They're just saying that to appear like they watch documentaries, they study and all, because the things they should have said, I believe, I'm a psychologist also, I believe several psychologists who know about social media and also watch The Social Dilemma, they would say the things they should actually be telling people, they are not telling people at all. They're not at all. So those are the things I expected them to say in the social dilemma. I think they actually said everything they wanted to say. But then these guys, they like edited them out. And you'd see that many of the people who are speaking as are former CEOs, former somebody of somewhere and somewhere and somewhere. And they'd casually mention how these CEOs don't allow their children to be on Instagram or Facebook or use iPads. And they're not saying why. It's like a parent, it's like they're two parents. Okay, they're two friends. One, let's say me and somebody else, me and Stacy. I tell Stacy, my mom doesn't allow me to eat sugar. And I'm not giving a reason or anything. And Stacy's like, okay, my mom allows me to eat sugar. That's the message I was getting from the social dilemma. They weren't like letting people know that it's actually very serious, that if the CEOs of these companies won't let their children watch this, use this, what does it mean? And for Instagram, I've noticed like the things they will push so much. Go and search for something. For instance, you want to buy a phone or a cover for your Switch. So you go to Dbrand. It's an account on Instagram, actually a business. And they have very savage responses and very, very savage captions. So if you ask them a stupid question, you will get a stupid response. You won't be able to get over yourself or get over it. So you go to Dbrand and you search for a particular cover for a Nintendo Switch. So you go and search for it. Best believe the very next day, not even the very next day, that very day, as long as you're spending time on Instagram, you're going to start seeing all the technology ads, ads of the Nintendo Switch, ads of the covers, ads of thumb protector things, ads of, what's that thing? The joystick you can put on the screen and all that stuff. You're going to get all those type of ads. But if you're searching for something educative, chances of Instagram coming, for instance, let's say I'm searching for something about menstrual health or endometriosis. I search for it. You know, I'm not going to get an ad about that. I'm not even going to get recommendations about that on my For You page unless it's something that's making money. So Instagram looks at what you're doing and then looks for who is trying to make money out of that and then starts sending those things to you because they're obviously also going to make money out of that.
Yeah, and just to add on what you've said, another thing that you can do apart from training the algorithm yourself is, and this is something I was struggling with. So for the longest time, I used to go through my feeds on social media, on Twitter and all of that. And I used to have a lot of nonsense. And so that used to pull me out of the experience of using these social medias. So what I decided to do was completely unfollow as many people as I could so that I only remain with a handful, even if it's 5 or 10 or even less than 50 people who you're sure that you're interested in them and you're going to be learning from them in some way.
Like, I even noticed that the people I follow are the reason my feed is a mess. I'm following somebody because we are friends from high school or went to the same high school or went to the same church or in the same neighborhood. And with time, I came to tell myself that just because you went to the same school with somebody or you live in the same neighborhood with somebody or you went to the same church with somebody or your parents are friends, does not mean you need to follow them on social media. You're only following them because of proximity, not because you have the same values or anything. And then you find that you have totally different values. So no matter how much you try and fine-tune your feed, the people you're following are influencing the algorithm on what to send you. So I started unfollowing such people. However, the same case remained. And apparently it's also the people who follow you, the things that they're engaging with will start appearing in your feed. Or proximity. I don't know where I read this study from, but if you go, say you went out to a restaurant or something, your Wi-Fi was on, your data was on, so social media was able to connect to the internet and all that, and say you are also meeting friends, even if it was 2 or 3, but you spent like, I don't remember the number of hours, but I think it's at least 3 hours next to each other, and all of you you're connected to the internet, whether it's the same internet or not. And you know the way anytime we meet friends, we're usually just going to be on our phone, waiting for the food and you're just on your phone, talking and you're on your phone. So everybody's on their phone. I'm on Instagram doing something, other person is on Facebook doing something else, another is on TikTok doing something else. Now what happens is like Facebook collects this data from people around you and start recommending the things those people around you engage with. So you get home, and that week suddenly on your feed, you're seeing things which are totally changing. You're like, why is this on my feed? What is this being here? I don't even like that. For instance, you don't do anything, you don't have anything to do with Koreans, K-drama, K-pop, or anything, but I do. And that's what I'm always looking at. So we stay around each other for 3 hours, 8 hours a day or two, whatever. And we're all on the internet. By the time you and I part ways, you start realizing you're seeing Korean things on your feed. I don't know what that is called, but that's what they are doing on social media in an effort to connect friends or something. It's something that's been happening, but I think I read it last year, if not in general. I don't remember when I read it. I happened to find to read so many things, and I feel like I should slow down on the rate at which I'm reading. Maybe I read it last year in January. It's something that's been happening.
Okay, yeah, and thank you so much for sharing about all this stuff, because people don't really like realize it, but what you see on social media is your bubble basically of information and how you view reality. And if you don't realize that that reality is being controlled by an algorithm that wants to make up a lot of money, you're going to be led into a rabbit hole.
And it's going to be hard to live, because especially, like, for instance, body dysmorphia. It's when somebody has a perceived flaw, no matter how tiny it is, and they can't get over it. They're now obsessed over that flaw. They feel like I'm ugly and stuff like that. My project in university was on social media and body dysmorphia, like how social media influences body dysmorphia or affects, and the relationship between social media and body dysmorphia amongst female university students in Nairobi. So when you're on social media, when you use filters, personally, when I use filters, I'm like, is that me? I feel so good. And you post the photo or the video and everybody is complimenting you. You're obviously going to feel nice because you're being appreciated. So you always post photos or like that. Then one day you're like, you believe you actually look good because of what guys have been telling you. So who you believe you are is the filtered version. So you just take a photo and post it, and then you're not getting likes, you're not getting compliments, you start getting cyberbullied. Turns out that you are not really that filtered version of you, and you can't accept it. So it's the same thing with social media being your bubble, and you can be there, and it's just fiction. Everything, when you get out, it's not the same. It's like living in a beautiful house, beautiful compound, but the moment you open, you get to get out, the environment is dirty. Like guys who live in the border between the rich, the high-rise areas and the slums, their whole asset is beautiful and everything, especially the guys whose houses are like at the wall. You open your window and you look outside and you're just seeing a slum. But inside your house, your asset is so beautiful. That's what social media does to people. So nobody wants to look outside. You get trapped in there.
That's awesome. That's an awesome metaphor. And you also mentioned something there about following people because they're your friends and because they're people who you know. That's also something I made a rule about, where you, even if you're friends or any of that stuff, if you're not learning from this person, if you don't expect to be educated, it's okay to unfollow them, right?
Even if they get mad, let them get mad, but you know, this person wasn't benefiting me in any way. And it's not like it's a loss to me. Of course, since we're Africans and we're social, you're going to feel bad about having to remove somebody from your circle. They've not done anything explicitly wrong. You just realize your values are not the same and you remove them. You'll feel bad about it, but it's for your own good.
Something which I'm starting to realize that social media has the capability of letting us do is, you can use it as a way to manage your network, like explicitly. So the same way you have friends, or the same way you need software to be able to manage, for example, a company, or you need a CRM to manage customers. If you use some of the strategies which we've spoken about today, where you only follow things where you want to learn about, where you're going to benefit, it's possible for you to use social media as actually a tool for managing your friends explicitly, like a business, right?
Yeah, you can use social media for anything. A good example is, I made it my business to personally clear the people I follow and the people who follow me. You know, on Instagram, when you unfollow somebody, it can tell you remove as a follower. If this person is relevant, I actually remove them as a follower, like for real. And people who their accounts are just there, but there's no activity on your page. Because if you have many followers, but they're not active, Instagram sees them as bots or that you went and bought followers. So Instagram starts hiding you and stuff. So the people you're following and the people who follow you play a huge role on how your Instagram account is. So I was saying, I made it my personal decision, I think in 2018. I think I even began this earlier, but I didn't take action. But in 2018 or 2017 is when I took action to follow people who are relevant to me, people who are helping me, and people who I can also help. So I came across this black American businesswoman called Supercent. Her business is makeup, and her makeup is called the Crayon Case. Literally, it's, you know how Crayola is? Her business is literally a crayon case. Her makeup business, it's a crayon case, it's notebooks. Like, all her products are in the form of school stationery, school supplies. And she's not even expensive, but her products are really good. I haven't used them, but I've been seeing videos saying her products are really good. Aren't available in Kenya, and that shipping and that tax, no. So Supercent became a millionaire, multi-millionaire through social media. Like, whatever you do, and anytime she does a live on social media, her and another lady called Judy, they're friends. Anytime those two do lives on social media, they make so much money. Their products get sold out because they know exactly what they're doing on social media, what they're using social media for, and how to leverage on social media. And Supercent lost her account, but she got it back, which taught me if you lose your account on Instagram, okay, which this is something I've known anyway. Did you know that Facebook doesn't know how the algorithm works?
See, they don't know how the recommendations are suggested, that
No,
algorithm.
like algorithm, the whole algorithm, they do not know how it works. They don't know how that AI works. I think the algorithm's an AI. They do not know how it works at all. Nobody knows.
I think that's also the case with a lot of AIs because these AIs are just given a lot of data and it's difficult for the human brain to understand what happens inside that box. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but now you see, there are many companies that have AI and they know exactly how the AI works. Facebook does not know how the algorithm works at all. They don't know. What they know is that the algorithm gives them results and that's all they need. How it works, they don't know. So this is a conclusion I drew. You see, when you make a report, you make a report for to you make an Instagram report and Instagram tells you you're wrong. Or when you lose your account and you appeal and Instagram tells you you're wrong. It's not people who are receiving those reports. It's bots who are receiving those reports. So what happens is when you make that report, they scan your account for everything, or they scan the account you're reporting for co violating community guidelines. And from the set of data they have, which is heavily biased and is favorable to cis white men, particularly racist and misogynistic cis white men. Instagram will tell you there's no problem with the account you reported. It was a mistake. Or Instagram will go through your account, and because you're black, and Instagram, what Instagram has, the algorithm has, the information they have is black people are secondary human beings or worse. Black people don't deserve rights and stuff like that. Now they scan your account, it's not going to come up. It's not going to be, you're not going to get your account back or anything, even if you got hacked or you got banned back. It's not going to come back because Instagram is scanning your account and it looks like you also have bot activity. For example, I was telling somebody that who was always in giveaways that they risk losing their account because they always post the same type of comments all the time and severally. So if they ever lost their account and they made an appeal, they would never get the account because the algorithm would scan their account and see that every single thing they've been doing is bot activity. Now, for Supercent, the reason she got back her account is because people rallied for her so much. People kept sending Instagram messages so much. People began sending people who work in Instagram messages so much that they, of course, they won't say it, but now they in particular came in and manually returned her account. Otherwise, if you're a nobody on social media, you don't know how to use social media, you can't command the power of social media. The algorithm is in charge, and if you lose your account or anything, it's going to be the algorithm that's dealing with that. The algorithm does everything. Instagram, they said themselves, Facebook, they don't know how the algorithm works at all. They just know it gives them results.